Acts. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 28, and we'll have Jessa do the reading this morning. Thank you, Jessa.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Acts 28, verses 11 to 31. And when you're ready, please stand with me in honor of reading God's word. After 3 months, we set sail on a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement: "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Thank you. You may be seated.
We're going to spend one more week in the book of Acts, kind of, and we'll conclude up our series next week in Acts. It's about this time when I get to the end after we've gone through. We started in September of 2024. As we approach this point where I start, it's a bittersweet. Once I get ingrained into a text, I start to enjoy its flavors, and then to be able to no longer approach it weekly, there's that bittersweet. We've been faithful to the text as we've walked our way through it, and then now we find ourselves at the end. We were faithful, and that is the sweetness of it. But my prayer is that as we've gone through it, it will be something that would be, as you continue to read the scriptures, that you repeat and remind yourselves of. God has been faithful to his promise. The gospel has gone forth throughout the world, even Tri-Cities. So here it is, Acts chapter 28. Paul finally makes and reaches Rome. And in Luke's closing words, if you remember, Over the last 8-some chapters, Paul has been imprisoned and going from trial to trial to trial, only to find himself appealing to Caesar. And when Paul makes it to Rome, Luke leaves the reader uninformed, unaware of Paul's fate before Caesar. It's interesting. For as if you're like me and you read the last 8 chapters, you know all along that Paul has been innocent. And yet, he has for several years been under house arrest. And even when you get to chapter 28, Luke reminds us in Acts chapter 28, verse 16, when he came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself, but he remains guarded. And in the close of Acts chapter 28, verse 30 through 31, you see Paul's continued condition for another 2 whole years. He lived at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. And you wonder, what is the fate of Paul? Why in the world does Luke leave the fate of Paul before Caesar, which he has built up for the last 8 chapters to come to, only to leave it ambiguous? Because it doesn't matter. Rather, if you've read Acts, you recognize the theme, which is whatever circumstance Christians find themselves, it is secondary to the victorious hope for all people who find the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstance, they are secondary to the victorious hope for all in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, Paul, never waver in light of their circumstance and keep that which is preeminent, the theme of Acts. That'll preach. It's worth considering. Because it's interesting that even Luke, as he might and knows that we might want to know what happens to Paul, remains consistent with the theme of Acts. No matter what circumstance these men, these people faced, they always held what was of first importance, that everything else was secondary. Why is Luke ambiguous concerning the fate of Paul? I hesitate to give it to you in the beginning of the sermon. Because Paul's fate is secured, and that which he preaches. Caesar is only someone who must himself hear the gospel and the hope set before all mankind. Brothers and sisters, that is the theme of Acts. Whatever circumstances that you and I face, what will remain preeminent? For when you recognize the secondary position that you have in life, that is second to Christ, in which you find all hope and meaning for life, that is what remains unchanged. It's the theme of Acts since the very beginning. As you were to And I can't relive everything in the book of Acts. It didn't matter when the church was little and there were just a few in an upper room being faithful, obedient to the Christ command, wait. For when the Holy Spirit comes, then you will be my witnesses. They were, on that day, filled with the Holy Spirit and designated by all who heard them now proclaim in a tongue they did not know. How did these Galileans proclaim the gospel of which every tongue and language that was present in Jerusalem, they heard and they were perplexed of what was falling upon their ears and how the Galileans, though they be small at that number, they remain fixated on that which was preeminent. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, never, though he should and could have been able to preach to thousands, always made it his conviction to prepare a message, even if it was only to 10, as if it was to 10,000. When you read the men and the women in the book of Acts, it doesn't matter whom is attentive or whom they are proclaiming, it was always, even when it was small, preeminent. So as the crowds even outnumbered their numbered, it was Peter who stood before the crowds, who just days, weeks earlier, crucifying Jesus Christ, took his stand. Remember what he said in Acts chapter 2? When he got the moment, his position was secondary to the preeminent position of the gospel set before all people, that he said, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And that day, 3,000 were numbered as God continued to add it to the church. And when persecution, as you watch the book of Acts, this theme of unwavering conviction to preach the gospel in light of whatever circumstance they faced, when they were in prosperity, own members selling land and portions of their property to take care of one another, it always stayed preeminent. It did not redefine their fellowship, but it made their fellowship. One be surprised that when even persecution and religious threats came into the midst of the church, and Peter and John were placed in the center where Jesus once stood and was tried, the religious leaders, the same religious leaders who crucified Christ, asked Peter and John, by what name do you do these things? Your circumstance, their circumstance was always changing. Their faith secured in the hope that they preached. Peter doesn't hesitate to say in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. One chapter later, they imprison all the apostles, lock them up. Surely this would change their message. Under bondage and threat of being killed for the name which they proclaimed, they said, did we not charge you not to preach this name? They tried to change the circumstance, but the circumstance was secondary to that which they proclaimed. It's the theme of Acts. What is the fate of Paul? Luke leaves it ambiguous. Why? Because his fate is secure. Because if that which he preaches, his fate is found righteous in the courtroom of God above. And so when they asked the apostles to stop, they said, Acts 5:29, I'm just reading a few to stress the theme, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. What do? They preach the gospel, no matter the circumstance. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. When the church was small, the message remained the same. When it grew in prosperity, the message stayed the same. When it faced political opposition, it remained the same. When religious leaders threatened their lives, the message stayed the same. When the gospel went forth to socially, ethnic, different groups of people, the gospel stayed the same. The circumstances changed, but the message of the gospel remained the same. So when Peter found himself in the house of a Gentile, something that a Jew would not normally participate in, though the circumstance changed, you get it? The message remained the same. It was preeminent. So that he said to the household of Cornelius, and he commanded us to preach in Acts chapter 10, 42-43, this Jesus, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It didn't matter where these apostles went. The circumstances changed. The message remained the same. So when you get to the book of the closing book of Acts in chapter 28, the theme remains. And to keep it preeminent, the fate of Paul is left ambiguous. I want you to see it. I'll try to go this somewhat quickly. But you'll notice 3 days. That's all it took, Paul. 3 days in a new community within Rome in which he presents to these people there that which is of first importance. Acts chapter 28, verse 17. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, this Jewish community, though I have done nothing against our people or our customs or our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. He makes a defense over the next couple verses of why he exists in chains, and then says, verse 20, for this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing these chains. Paul loves his people, the Jewish community, that when he gets to Rome, he cannot but wait 3 days to bring before them what is preeminent, Jesus Christ. Some questioned this about Paul, and Paul has to give reference of this in Romans. Romans 9, 1 through 3, his love for the Jewish people. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What is the fruit of that theology? 3 days. Brothers and sisters, how long have you lived amongst the people of dry cities? This is the theme of Acts. That they know from you that which is preeminent. The hope set before all people, Jesus Christ, that Paul, within 3 days, please come over to my house so I can tell you about him. If that is the theme of Acts, and it's the theme at which Paul builds later, imitate me, what could we gain from Acts? Our circumstances will always change. There will be seasons of prosperity where it's easy to be a Christian. There will be seasons of difficulty going into work environments where the means by which doing it may be very difficult. But whatever the circumstances of the apostles by which they found themselves, that which was preeminent always made itself known. And because of his love for this Jewish community, Acts chapter 28, verse 23, when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, he preached the gospel. God created everything and everyone. And within his creation, he created the Imago Dei. Humanity to represent the invisible God visibly before all creation as an act of worship. We are to reflect his goodness, his kindness, his peace, his joy, his love, his patience, and we don't do that. The consequences of our sin and not holding up his righteous standard has been paid out to this day in death. For the wages of sin is death, but in the midst of the consequences of sin, even long ago, through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, God promised a Messiah, and that Messiah came forth from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. And he has attested the fulfillment of all the prophecy, voluntarily took on our sins to satisfy the wrath due to us, and that all God has required of us to enjoy that hope is to believe in the one whom God has sent, Christ Jesus. And he pleaded with them and tried to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets. And praise God, some were convinced. Why? Because he loved them, waited 3 days to speak Christ. We would rather not have it, the rest of the verse, be present. For it is the hindrance of our proclamation. We fear that others would disbelieve and respond in perception of ourselves negatively. Book of Acts, the circumstances will always change. But that which is preeminent remains that which is of first importance to them. The fate of Paul before Caesar is left ambiguous purposely by Luke. Why? Because it's secondary to the proclamation of the gospel. And Paul, who has faithfully preached this message over his career, is amazed by the rejection of his Jewish community. And he says, it's true. What the prophets have said in verse 26, in which they said, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. for this people's heart has grown dull. Did the circumstance of dullness delay or hinder that which they believed to be their calling? No. Dullness is a circumstance in which he found himself amongst, and he still preached Christ. The hardness of humanity still deserves the right to know about a loving God. It's grace. So he pleaded. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and if they would, they would be healed. When we proclaim the gospel, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, God is justified. Whether they reject it or receive it, it proves the hardness of man, the grace extended to them, that they still say, "No, I don't need you." But if they respond, his kindness and his grace is made evident in that he does heal them. And Paul has watched it throughout all of his life, a Jewish community deny the promised Messiah given to them. And then he says, "Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." The evidence, the proof of these words are present today. We are Gentiles, many of us. And though we were far from God, disconnected to the promises extended to Israel, God has been gracious to extend to those who were far from Jerusalem, to provide to us in Tri-Cities or wherever you're from, whatever circumstance you found yourself. God's grace came to you. And someone who believed it was preeminent, the hope set before you, preached Christ. And you have found reconciliation and hope within that message. That ministry is not done. Parents, co-workers, peers that go to school and interact with those whomever you're around. So Paul finds himself imprisoned under house arrest near a soldier. Look how the book of Acts ends. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, and he welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. The circumstances will always change. You may be on trial, as many Christians are today, for the hope set before them, for it is legal to be a Christian within their nation. But that which is preeminent always remains, that they are welcome to proclaim and preach to whomever will listen the hope set before in Christ. For they know their fate is secured in Christ. If there is any theme to walk away from with the book of Acts as we consider our, essentially our last convictional response from this text in this series, specifically from the book of Acts, it would be, what circumstance is hindering you from preaching the blood and sacrifice, the hope set before you in Christ Jesus, as preeminent to the places which God has placed you? Is it your job? Is it your spouse? Is it school? Fear? Uncertainty, how to articulate the gospel? What is it? And if Paul has said elsewhere, imitate me as I follow Christ, may those whom we walk amongst, whatever circumstance we may find ourselves, may their observation of us be, this circumstance is secondary to that which they see as preeminent, Christ Jesus. Though I like the pleasure of a job, it's secondary for working for Christ. Though God has given me the privilege of children, my hope is that they come to know Christ. Though my spouse does not yet know Christ, Christ is superior, and my hope is to be patient with them to know Him as I do as well. May Christ and His hope be found on our lips to be preeminent. Though He was chained, the gospel went forth without hindrance. With his fate secured. This is how the gospel has always gone forth, through faithful people who hold fast to the gospel and his instruction. May we too as well. Let's pray. Three days.